Another day, another podcast. The biggest struggle every single week is getting the mic to be at a good spot where it's not covering 99% of my face. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Girls Gone Healthy, the one-stop shop for you to become a healthiest version of yourself. This is truly the podcast that you need to listen to if you're a girl that wants to go healthy. This week, the motto for my week has been maximizing my routines. The first few weeks of the year, first couple months actually at that rate, my routine was not all there. I will say it, okay? I will be the first to admit that the things that I wanted to do, the things that I wanted to achieve, my routine was not in alignment with my goals for 2024, okay? And I think a lot of people can relate to me with that. So this week, I took it upon myself to nail down my morning and night routines and my day routines and all the routines and truly make an effort to maximize them. So without further ado, this episode is all about how to optimize your routines to maximize your longevity and overall health. This is Girls Gone Healthy. You don't want to miss this episode. I have a lot of juicy tips in here. So when we talk about maximizing routines, we're talking about two big things, your morning routine and your night routine. What are you starting your day with? What are you ending your day with? But there are a couple habits in between in the middle of the day that you can also utilize in order to maximize your longevity and your health. There's a freaking dog barking. Shut up. This is why I hate small dogs. No offense if you have a little rat dog, but if you have a rat dog, seriously, you gotta have a lot of love in your heart. They're just these like tiny little things the size of a hot dog that make a lot of noise. They don't even add protection to your lives. I don't get it. We've all been there. You sleep in past your alarm. You had a whole list of things that you wanted to do that day. It's just not turning out the way that you wanted it to. You wanted to work out in the morning. You're not a morning person naturally. It doesn't come to you, okay? You didn't maximize your morning routine. You did not set yourself up for success. Therefore, it is not happening. You're snoozing that alarm. You're not getting up. You're not moving your body. You're not doing the things that you wanted to do. Now, a lot of people are like, in order for me to get up in the morning, I just have to force myself to go. Wrong. There are things that you can do to set yourself up for success in order to make the getting up portion easier. First thing I want to say when it comes to optimizing your morning routine, wake up with the sun or before the sun. Now, there is like a little bit of an in-between that I want to say. When it comes to sleep, sleep is really important. And a lot of the times you could be a more productive version of yourself if you just allow another hour, you know, another hour of sleep into your life. That is not the flexibility that a lot of people have. So I understand if you're not one of those people. If you are, then cut yourself some slack. I used to be the kind of person, tried to wake up at 6. If I slept until 7, I thought the world was ending, okay? I did not start work until 9. So I had some flexibility, but truly, I thought the world was going to explode if I slept in an extra hour. I thought that I was going to be the least productive version of myself. Absolutely not the case. That extra hour of sleep can actually really help you energy-wise throughout the day be even more productive. So instead of getting down on yourself when you sleep in, think about it this way. Just like this is the same analogy that I use when it comes to if you, you know, ate a little bit more than you were supposed to, you went past your calorie means. Use the extra food as fuel. Just think about it like that. So the same thing with an extra hour of sleep. If you overslept, use that extra hour as energy and then maximize it. But anyways, I'm digressing. My biggest tip of all is to wake up with the sun or right before the sun so I can watch the sun wake up with me. If there's something kind of special about it, just watching the world wake up with you and being awake before the world. I know a lot of people are night owls, so this is just like only applicable to some people. But watching the sun rise, there is something so extremely special about it. And if you are not one of those kinds of people, do it once. And I promise you, you will probably wish you could be one of those kinds of people. Hence why you will probably become a morning person. This one is kind of obvious. Everybody says it, but I want to, you know, nail it into your heads because I need to nail it into my own. Don't look at blue light upon rising. Your eyes are so sensitive in the morning when they're just waking up. Please, for the love of all things healthy and good, don't look at your phone right away. Now, taking a look at like a couple of texts coming in, anything you have to hop on right away, which honestly, unless it's an insane emergency, there's nothing dire enough that you should have to hop on at like 6 or 7 a.m. Don't look at blue light in the morning. Only get up, turn on some lamps, set the scene, grab a book, grab your journal. This leads me into my third point. Within one singular hour of waking, go look at the sun. Get your eyes in the sun, no sunscreen. Be one with the earth. It sounds so woo-woo, but truly, I'm telling you, it's going to help you a whole ton. And you guys, you must be thinking, oh, it's so easy for you to say this. When I lived in New Jersey, every single day, I would go out and I would catch the sun, even if it was hiding behind millions of clouds, even if it was gray outside, even if it was blizzarding, I would get myself out on a between 5 to 30 minute walk, depending on how bearable it was, every single day. And let me tell you, even on the gloomiest of all days, it still helped my energy stabilization. It helped my blood flow. It helped my mental health. It helped me keep a clear mind. It is going to help you more than you think it will. It could be your outlet. This is your time to get outside, be one with nature, even if, again, it's disgusting out. This is your time to clear your head. This is your you time. Don't let anything get in between you and your you time. If you have a kid, take them with you. Teach them the importance of getting outside and being one with nature as well, and taking a look at the sun first thing. My next tip is arguably one of the most important things that I think every woman should be doing. Front load your protein. Front loading protein is a super easy way to ensure that you're going to get enough throughout the day. So my rule of thumb is to have my first meal be between 30 to 50 grams of protein. This morning it was 50 grams. I was on the higher end and I'm super happy about it because it's setting me up for success and making it a lot easier for me to hit my goal of getting 130 grams throughout the entire day. Protein is also considered the most satiating macronutrient. Carbs and fats, they are more highly palatable. They're going to be easier to come by and easier to eat because a lot of things have not a lot of protein in them. So therefore, it's really easy to consume carbs and fats. The two things that are a little bit more difficult to prioritize and make sure you get enough of are fiber, so that's within carbs, and protein. So front loading your protein, making sure you're getting enough at least in that first meal, is going to set you up for success. You're probably going to hit your protein goals because at the same time too, when you have like one good meal, you're going to be like, I'm on a winning streak. I have to keep on going with this. So you're going to, hence like your next meal is going to be healthy as well. Front load protein. My next tip, which is something that I don't always do, I didn't do it today and I probably won't do it tomorrow, but I will still preach it, is to drink coffee on a full stomach with food after food, not on an empty stomach. I do feel such a difference when I'm drinking coffee on an empty stomach as opposed to a full stomach. When I drink it on an empty stomach, I feel like an anxious ball of energy, but not in a good way. I feel like I have to punch something because of all the anxiety that's just whirling in my soul. And also caffeine is, of course, the coffee is filled with acid. So having acid swishing on your stomach, having a little dance party in your gut, not the cutest sight, not the cutest vision. My next tip, this is something that I've been implementing the last few weeks since moving, and it's really helpful. Actually, I did this when I was in Jersey too, but I've noticed that, and this is like a different tip in and of itself, if you just recently moved and you went to a new city, whatever it might be, different apartment, and you're alone, you're not used to being alone, maybe, throw on a podcast or music right away in the morning. You feel like you are talking to somebody when you are hearing somebody speak. Maybe you're even doing that with me right now on your commute. That is such an easy way to feel like you're socializing when you're actually not. Now, of course, it's super important to exercise your talking ability and that muscle in and of itself, but I just find it to be such a better routine for myself when I'm waking up and then throwing on worship music or throwing on a podcast or something that makes me feel good, something that's educating me, something that is setting me up for success in the next thing that I'm doing that day. Now, throwing on a podcast or music, that makes me want to wake up. That makes me excited for my morning. That makes me filled with adrenaline. That is a huge, huge tip. And I think that everybody should utilize that. It kind of helps you feel like you're with people, but you don't have to be on necessarily. So it's not like an overload. Like, you ever have those mornings where you wake up and somebody just wants to talk to you and you just want to punch them? I'm speaking from experience because I'm very passionate about this. When we wake up right in the morning, you don't have a full-blown conversation with me. It is illegal. You should go to jail for that. It's like 5:30 a.m. and you want to talk to me about the impact that plastic water bottles have on the environment and the impact that the surge of the great white sharks are having in Northern California. Like, do you have an off switch? If you are that person, you are the problem. No, but for real, like early mornings, Not for deep conversations. Absolutely not. Maybe a little bit of small talk. Maybe a little bit of, you know, some soft banter. That's it. That's all you get. Not before my coffee. All right, so I'm going to map out the perfect morning routine for you. You can use this template if you want. That's actually something that I absolutely love doing. And I think I've talked about this in an earlier episode, but have morning routine templates. Morning routines is something that I think that people think that in order to have discipline, you have to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And it's kind of true. Repetitiveness is the way that you're going to grow within that thing. Absolutely. However, not everybody is wired in that way where they feel like they're able to do the exact same routine every single day. Now, when it comes to workout programs, if you have a strength goal, you're going to have to do the same program, which means that you're going to be doing like the same workouts every single week. But what I mean with morning routine template is have days where you do one thing and then have days where you do another thing and then have days where you do that third thing. So you have three templates. The first template could be this, right? You wake up at 5:45 a.m. You grab your water. You go over to your little table. You do your devotionals, journal, Bible time, prayer, whatever you want to do. You throw on some music that makes you feel happy. You get ready for the gym. You go to the gym. You move, you do 10 minutes of a sauna, you shower, you get ready, you come home, and then you start work for the day. That's literally what I did this morning. Now, that is my early morning routine. I do that maybe one or two times a week. This is my other kind of morning routine. Wake up, go outside, go on a walk, drink some water. I might be going outside, going to the beach outside, or might be just going outside. Regardless, I'm getting some movement in. I'm getting my face in the sun. I'm coming back, I'm having my breakfast, I'm having my coffee, I'm doing my devotionals, I'm doing some housework, cleaning up a little bit, and then I'm hopping on work a little bit early in the day because I'm a business owner, so I have the flexibility to kind of choose what my schedule is. That's my second template. My third template could be more of a lax morning. The whole point is to do something that feeds your mind, your body, your soul, and then something that you look forward to as well. So have those templates, utilize them, have like Monday be one thing, Tuesday be another. That adds a lot of variety into your routines. Make routines exciting. That's like the biggest thing. If your routine isn't exciting, you're not going to stick to it. So now throughout the day, this is the biggest hack that I could give any single human being. Instead of doing the traditional to-do list, it is so easy with a to-do list to max it out and throw on 1,001 things that you're thinking of throughout the day. Now, having a macro to-do list is something that I'll do where throughout the week, I'm going to throw on the things that I need to get done so I don't forget them. If I don't write them down and put them in my notes, I'm forgetting that thing 100%. But I don't work off of that macro to-do list. I work off of time blocks. So for instance, today, I time blocked my entire day. From 5 a.m. until about 7:30, my entire day is time blocked. This podcast is time blocked. I'm going to read it to you. So 5 a.m., I woke up, Bible time, coffee. I time blocked my drive to the gym. And then I time blocked a workout, sauna session, and shower because I shower at the gym and I get ready in the gym. I time blocked my drive back. And then I time blocked 9 to 10 a.m. I had 3 new clients signing up today for my online coaching. So I time blocked that, messages and emails. That was 1 hour, and then I time blocked meal one and sunshine. The sun isn't really out today, but I still went outside on my balcony. I ate my meal, I caught up on excess emails, and then I also time blocked during that meal. I had to film a high protein breakfast idea, and then I also time blocked make a doctor appointment. So I called my doctor's office and I made a doctor appointment. Then I time blocked 10:30 to 11:30 to film content and plan socials for the day. And then 11:30 to 12:30, I time blocked planning my podcast breakdown for today. And then I time blocked calling my sister while I walked on the treadmill. That's a habit stack. And then I time blocked these podcasts that I'm filming. I'm time blocking my lunch. I'm time blocking some social media work that I have to do for 2 hours, and then I'm time blocking an evening walk, and then after that, I will probably be dead. And then that rate is when I get into my night routine. So before I move into the night routine, that is the biggest hack of a lifetime. If you do a traditional to-do list style, you're going to think you're capable of more than you actually are, and I don't mean that to make you feel like crap. I'm saying that because a lot of the times we can get ahead of ourselves and we can set a standard for ourselves that is so stinking high, you're not going to reach that standard for the day. You're going to not fulfill your to-do list, and then that's what's going to end up making you go to bed feeling anxious because you didn't fulfill all the things that you wanted to do. Time block this day so that way you can actually lay out in front of your eyes what you can actually achieve that day, what you could realistically fit in. And then I'll have days for podcasts and social media like I'm doing today. And then I'll have days for, that's more like for client check-ins and client work and stuff like that. So time blocking your days, your weeks, life changer. And it looks kind of hectic. I kind of thought it was hectic at first before I started doing it, but it actually makes things a lot more organized. It makes things less daunting, less intimidating, and more seamless for sure, more organized. So moving into the night routine, so let's just think, take today for example. At 7:30, I'm going to be ending my time blocked day. The first number one thing, and I was actually just talking to my sister about this, turning off the big lights. Turn off those dang big lights. I don't use big lights in my house in general. I hate big lights. And when I say big lights, I mean like the overhead lights that cast just disgusting shadows and look kind of nasty. I don't use those. They're nasty. They're gross. So introducing Zen lights. Yellow, red lights, Himalayan salt lamps, stuff like that. Lighting that adds more zen into your home and gives you a sense of calm and peace. Candles, stuff like that. That is going to, and Andrew Huberman talks about this a lot, but it's your eyes are going to adjust to it and your eyes are going to realize, okay, it's nighttime now. It's time to relax. It's time to shut down my body ever so slightly. Introducing aromas and smells, like the same kinds of aromas and smells at the same times every single day. I will put on a candle that smells the same at the same time every single evening and it smells like chocolate. Actually, it's on right now. So I'm not necessarily 100% truthful with that, but it's this Trader Joe's beeswax candle, and I love beeswax candles because they don't carry endocrine disruptors. Anyways, so the chocolate candle literally just makes my body feel like I'm ready for sleep. I'm ready to zen, relax, knock out. So introducing the same scents, it kind of does help because your body is going to pick up that as like a routine thing. And it's going to remind itself, oh, I smelled this exact same thing at the same time last night. And then we went to bed like a couple hours later. So it's going to be like this routine thing. This is something I talk to my clients all the time about. Eliminate your big meals 2 to 3 hours before bed. The whole routine of eating like a big dessert before bed, absolutely awful. You're eating sugar, first of all, right before bed. Second of all, you're eating right before bed. Think about what has to happen in order for your body to break that down. Your body's metabolizing that food. Therefore, your heart has to work. Your entire body has to work and it warms up for the process. Your body has to be at a cool temperature in order to sleep. So if you're eating a lot of food right before bed, you're not going to sleep very well. That's just like the easiest way to put it. Also, cutting off water a couple hours before bed actually could help you a lot if you're somebody that wakes up a lot of the times in the middle of the night to pee. I used to do this all the time, and then I had like insane insomnia where I would wake up at like 2 a.m. to pee, and then I could not fall asleep again, or it would just be like in and out. I wouldn't really hit REM. So just eliminating a lot of water intake right before bed could actually help a lot. Have your closing shift. Closing shifts are so important, so fun, such a good way to kind of like romanticize your night routines. But when it comes to stressors that can be controlled, it's so important to eliminate those. So what I mean things like having a clean kitchen, having a tidy space, having your laundry be done, having towels folded, having your body be clean. So taking a shower right before bed, clean sheets, stuff like that. These are all little stressors and things that we don't actually realize have an impact on our body until they all kind of pile up. So just eliminate all of those variables and have a closing shift where you dedicate 60 minutes maximum to cleaning everything up. Do your night routine, do your gua sha, lymphatic drainage, romanticize all of it, put your aroma on. It sounds kind of like wellness talk. Like I sound like I'm speaking like a wellness language right now, but truly it's going to help you so much. I've seen this as a direct result in my own life. Now, obviously, you want to ditch the phone, ditch scrolling. I know a lot of people still do that, but I'm also going to throw in the tip of ditching things that mentally stimulate you. If you're reading right before bed, don't read a book that's going to mentally stimulate you.
I made this mistake the other night. I'm reading a book all about fatigue and about the science that minerals have on your blood, and I'm a nerd for that kind of stuff. So I stayed awake a little bit too long, and I just couldn't put it down. But when it comes to reading, choose your books wisely. If you're somebody who stays awake by reading, read a book that maybe you know is just like a little bit boring and you're just going to want to put down. Or you could even just put on some sounds on your phone. What I do is I actually listen to brown noise on my phone every single night. That helps me sleep so deep. If you can't sleep very well, try it. I'm telling you, just try it. Brown noise is a lot softer than white noise. And then pink noise is just super harsh. I don't like it. Brown noise is where it's at. You have to try it on Spotify. You can just do this forever brown noise playlist. And I'm telling you, it will put you out like a light. And then whenever you hear it again, you're just going to want to fall asleep. Trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. Now, obviously, in order to be tired at the end of the day, you have to be able to, you know, exert energy and actually do stuff that makes you tired. Now, there are a lot of things that make us tired in one way. For instance, socialization makes us tired. Work makes us tired. If you even think that you're somebody who is active throughout the day, physically active, I'm telling you, try this. Try to have a step count. Hit like 10 to 12K steps per day. Plus, if you can add a workout in on top of that, do it. If you can't, it's fine. But just try tracking your steps and see if that helps your tiredness at the end of the day. And then also, sometimes it's a mental perspective as well. If you're in bed and you feel anxious, just tell yourself, I can think about this tomorrow. I can think tomorrow. My brain can turn on tomorrow. I don't have to be alive right now or awake, or I can just melt into my own little world and allow myself this time of relaxation and nothingness in my brain. Think of your brain being like Patrick Starr's brain in SpongeBob. Nothing. Hollow. So those are all of my tips on how to optimize your routine to increase your longevity and your overall health right in this minute. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please rate this episode, subscribe to the podcast if you can even do that. I don't even know if you can do that. I really enjoy talking to you guys, and these last few episodes that I've been filming have been really fun, and I can't wait for further episodes and opportunities to speak more on the topics that I'm super passionate about. So until next time on Girls Gone Healthy, bye.